Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night's edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, we're going to ask you to please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about the fact that the Tyrese Nichols tape of his arrest was released today by the Memphis Police Department. The city of Memphis did release that tape a little after 6 p.m. City leaders were pleading for calm as the tape of the beating of Tyrese Nichols at the hands of five Memphis police officers is said to have been hard to watch. Nichols, a 29-year-old father, died from injuries sustained in his violent encounter with police. The five officers charged in the murder of Tyrese Nichols include Tadarius Bean, Dimitri Haley, Justin Smith, Desmond Mills, and Emmett Martin. These officers have been charged with second-degree murder, aggravated assault, aggravated kidnapping, official oppression, and official misconduct. Ben Croft, the Nichols family attorney, likened the video of Tyrese's arrest to the notorious footage of the Los Angeles police beating of black motorist Rodney King. This one, y'all, to be honest with you, hits hard. It hits hard because Memphis is a city I know all too well. I spent all of my formative years there. I went to school there. I'm worried about about a lot of people that are close to me. I have relatives and friends that live in that city. And I know the reputation of the Memphis Police Department. And it scares me, to be honest with you, what could possibly happen. Right now, as we speak, the protesters are blocking the 40 bridge. If you're not familiar with Interstate 40, Interstate 40 comes into Memphis from Arkansas. So they're blocking the bridge on both sides, coming and going, which means commerce is being blocked because 18-wheelers come over that bridge and go back toward Arkansas all day, all night, and they have completely backed the traffic up into Arkansas. And there's another way to come in, and that's on 55. However, if you're already on that bridge, there's no way to turn around. So needless to say, I'm sure the city leaders in Memphis tonight are very concerned about that. But I think the protesters are out there because it needed to happen. Unfortunately, Tyrese Nichols was a sacrificial lamb that will probably be the catalyst for change in Memphis and possibly across the country. What we saw or what I saw that I could find in terms of the footage, because for some reason I could not find the entire tape, but what I did see, it was clear that a lot of things went on that should have went on. However, I don't believe the Memphis Police Department is being completely transparent, as they did not show the initial stop, what caused it, what brought it to this point. And so that's something that I think lacking in their telling us that they're trying to be accountable. So tonight, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what happened to Tyrese Nichols. Why did we get here? How did we get here? And how it can be fixed. So I'm going to open the phone line. I see Christopher. Good evening, Christopher. How are you?
Good evening, Carrie. How are you doing?
I'm good. I see Malik. Good evening, Malik.
Evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Adrian, good evening. Stop picking on Adrian. Hey, Adrian. Listen, y'all, this is crazy.
That's my partner, man.
Y'all, this is crazy what's going on in Memphis. But, I mean, of all places, you know, again, this is some place that I grew up at. You know, of all places for the protesters to be as effective as they have been in getting the tapes released as quickly as they have. But somebody brought out a very good point. I think it was Ben Crump. And he said, if these officers had been Caucasian, these tapes probably would not have been released as early. Do y'all believe that's true?
I believe that.
Oh, wow. Well, but you know what? The thing is, though, right is right and wrong is wrong, and I don't care what color you are. I'm glad they came out as quickly as they did. And if you didn't do anything, then the tape should prove that.
Correct.
So, yeah. My thinking is I mean, I'm trying to choose my words carefully, y'all, because I may see these people on the streets one day. But my thing is that I don't know, because I know me, how anybody could have talked me into being a part of that. I am such a big mouth, I would have said, you going too far. I know I would not have participated, and I know I would have been the person that said stop. Why do you think these other people didn't say stop?
I'm gonna tell you this like this is. They thought they could get by, just like our grandparents when we get in trouble. You did it because you thought you could get by, and they so stuck, and they warped way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You know that blue code of honor that we can get by nothing. Just like the gentleman said earlier, those cameras that they got, I don't know if they use Exxon, them neighborhood cameras, but they never thought that them same cameras that they used to do to reduce crime would catch some officers doing some things that the department didn't condone. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, them dudes, you know, something wrong with them cats. You know, something wrong with these cats. I don't know what's wrong with them. Are they taking these testosterone shorts, driving them crazy? Too much lead. Something is wrong with these young men. And they're not really, I don't know who's doing the cycle valve with these young men. But something is wrong with you mentally, that you don't have no respect for human life. Something wrong with you.
I agree. Adrian,
hey,
were you saying something? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was about to ask you a question. Now, I haven't, could you, since I know you say Memphis is your home state, right?
Well,
so
it's where I grew up.
Us,
I wasn't born there, but I grew up there.
Okay, so are you able to give us like just a brief insight to the Memphis police? I mean, as far as your, you know, what you witnessed the time you were there, or, you know, what you come to understand about them? Because I know, you know, we know what we deal with here.
I can deal with that. Yo, listen, if I'm going to be transparent tonight, let me be real transparent. Fort Worth PD had me so scared, y'all. Listen, in 2017, I went back to Memphis, still had a house here, still trying to pay a house note here and living in Memphis because Fort Worth PD had me that scared with the harassment that I was going through. That said, whatever Fort Worth did, they made a call to Memphis PD. And I got a lot of like following. I got a lot of like messing with my mail and stuff like that and other things. Now, I am somebody who's never had a criminal record ever. I've never been in trouble. I've never even had a traffic ticket. So coming at me that way, and I'm somebody who obeys the traffic laws. So it wasn't like they could, you know, get me with anything, you know, criminally, but they mess with me in other ways. And so do I know that these are bad boys, some of them? Absolutely. Do I think they're all bad? No. But they do have a notorious bad record for having a lot of gangs within the police department, being, you know, violent, you know, toward people, you know, that type of thing. So they do have that type of reputation. And so when I heard this, it was easy to believe that it could happen because they move like that. And it's like there's no clear leadership to stop it. So, you know, do I believe that? Yes. Memphis has some issues. Let me say something, though, since you asked me that. I did hear today, and I'm looking for my notes, that this particular police department was under investigation by the DOJ. They were currently still being monitored for their activity of following people. And was I followed when I was in Memphis every single goddamn day? I'm going to be honest with you. And so do I know that they are totally – yeah. I complained to their police department. I complained to the mayor. You know, I even went to the council person there. But nothing happened to rectify it. So, you know, I hate to say I'm glad this happened to them, but I am glad it happened to them because I think some change needs to take place in that city. So, yeah, absolutely. And Christopher, and since nobody's saying anything, Pianki, good evening. Pianki has joined the conversation. Good evening, Pianki. How are you?
Well, it don't fit the narratives that we hear all the time.
What narrative?
About blacks being beat up by white police officers.
Okay. I hate putting that in the equation because if you're a bad cop, does it really matter what color you are?
Well, it shouldn't, but it does with this systemic racist media. And the words they use, the adjectives that they use, and so on and so on and so on. So,
what the fuck you saying,
blood?
But
that's
the
head
of the list, bro. No, we ain't finna tolerate that kid. What you shooting at,
blood? Am I cursing you, sir?
Let me tell you
what I said. I said what I said. What's so hard for you to decipher what I said? When you read the media spurs on this type of stuff.
We didn't create this narrative.
Now, here's the point. Why? Here's the point. The investigations have
been doing this, blood.
I ain't never had no confrontation with the police. Never in my life. Now, why are they putting out video and the investigation haven't even concluded?
But you know what, PNC, I think they're putting it out there because people like Cassio Montez, Cleo Burris, Frank Gotti, Amber have been out there on their butts protesting. I mean, those people have been on the front line every single day coming, you know, from all directions, you know, going to the DA's office, you know, protesting in front of City Hall, popping up at awards events that the mayor was hosting. So they ain't letting them, you know, breathe.
But let me ask you a question, Carrie. Where do you mm-hmm. think the trial is going to be had at?
In Memphis.
No, it's not. Uh-huh. It's not going to be held in Memphis because the case have already been tried in media. The trial is going to have to be held outside of Memphis because everybody has been tainted about what's happened.
You know what? I'm going to tell you this. You know what? You got big money. I'll bet you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Memphis has had some pretty big trials to come through there, including Dr. King. So I question
that
they
different
would
era.
That trial.
But I'm gonna tell you, on appeal, that any appellate court is gonna look at what happened and say yes, it shouldn't have been held there.
But listen, Mr. Yankee, mm-hmm. I will say that I'm telling you, there is with that whole perspective of change of venue and everything that used to happen, like with the OJ case or the Rodney King case and everything like that, you know, when you see that, what's happening now is like there's a big thing here. It doesn't work anymore. Like because of social media and because of the lightning fast media, and so what the functionality of a change of venue is really, if you've got a big enough, now it would be different if it was a smaller jury pool. But somewhere like Memphis, I mean, where are you going to find a bigger jury pool? Is all I'm saying.
Well, Memphis has lost a lot of population, just like all your major cities. After the Mike Brown incident, you had blacks fleeing from Ferguson over into majority white communities with majority white police departments. So they were not fleeing from that.
Well, I'm not talking about fleeing. I'm just talking about when it goes to trial. I mean, it's possible. I'm not disagreeing with you. It's possible. But the thing that I want everybody to focus on at this point is what we need to be what we need to be careful for right now at this moment in time is like the problem that we have with Fort Worth Police Department is controlled narrative. And that's why I got on there eager to see what kind of objective thing I could see, and all I see is every channel. It's a freaking scatterbrain kaleidoscope and so we don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, really, where do we get off the ground as a public?
But
well,
you know
he just raised a good point.
Mm-hmm. What's the point?
No, he just raised a good point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the thing, though. This case, this trial, if handled, or their trials, if handled right, could set the precedent for some of this BS that police have been doing and getting away with. That if you see your partner beating the crap out of somebody or shooting somebody for no reason and you cover up for it, then you go into jail, too. That has never happened. Because we saw that with, hello, Aaron Dean. And Carol Dorch should have gotten in trouble too, but she didn't.
Charles should have. Just like Tiffany Huff, when Steptoe killed that officer, they gave Tiffany Huff 99 shame suit of plot because they lied about her camera not being on. You can't see yourself with that body cam. That's a lie. That's a lie. I just watched this body cam, Exxon version 3. The other officer, Kim, he couldn't see himself. That's the bull job games they play. And whatever they did, man, at the end of the day, them cats did that to themselves. I ain't making no excuse for them. They control that narrative because of their conduct.
I absolutely agree.
They had a choice.
Let me tell you something.
Apprehend that man, take him to jail on a routine traffic stop, bro. That's we didn't see that cat that went off in that church and shot up all them people in South Carolina. Stopped him, gay, got him a hamburger, and took him to jail.
Yeah, Go ahead.
No, just in your perspective, Kerry, you made another point when you started this conversation. You said, as far as the transparency part of it, where is the entire video? Not saying that we're trying to exonerate these police officers for their behavior, but where is the entire video, the footage from when y'all said he was, the initial Adrian. Stop happened to him pleading and all this, where is that at, you know?
Bro, I'm watching it on MSNBC. They show everything. What are you talking about?
I asked the question based off what Kerry, what Gary put out.
Yeah, they're not going to release the whole thing. That's true. They're not going to.
I heard that there was like more, like somewhere just over an hour and 15 minutes of full footage that was part of the body that was released from the city. The official, it was different perspectives and everything. And that's what I said. So I got on there, and what I'm sitting there saying about the controlled narratives of every media outlet and every bias that it might be tuned into, I'm just saying we need to have our thermometers in that, because there's going to be controlled narrative, because they've been cutting this up. I heard some of the media say, that video is redacted that they released, of course, but I think
right.
that they were. I think the city of Memphis was fully transparent by the law.
I heard there was a three-way
in the neighborhood, man. Give you the top angle versus the body cam angle, bro.
The last camera footage was by a homeowner up on the second floor.
And I get that, but you understand, bro. They have Axion cameras that's in the neighborhood.
But I also have heard
different points of views.
One of the police officer wives and this guy was in a relationship with each other.
That's the narrative I heard. But regardless, the man life is on.
Okay, let me dispel that rumor.
That's not no excuse for that, bro.
Okay, let me
dispel
that rumor.
The man life is on. They did it. And let the courts deal with them.
Okay, they're all single, so that's not true. Maybe it's his girlfriend, but it sure wasn't his wife. But let me tell y'all something that I found very interesting. The average age of these guys. Do you know every single one of them was born in the 1990s? Every single one of them. Their ages is like 24, 30, 28, 30, and 32. So
I'm looking at it right now. They ain't no homeowner. That's a top view. And with the Axion camera going from that camera that's on that pole.
Okay, so I wasn't able to see it all. It's for whatever reason. Everywhere I went, they would just talk about it's coming. But I saw just a little bit of it. And then when they drug him to the car and they propped him up against the car, to me, I believe he was already dead then. I mean, because literally they propped him up, you know. So I just question if something else wasn't going on. But y'all, these charges.
He wasn't dead because his legs were still moving. He was probably, I watched everything.
You can see that as dark.
I watched MSNBC is real graphic. They ain't missing a beat on him.
Okay. Because, see, these charges, y'all, they got second-degree murder. I saw one place that said it could carry 15 to 25, and another place I saw it could carry 15 to 60 years. Now, the catch with that is, y'all, with that second-degree murder charge, there is no probation and no parole. That part.
Okay.
It's Tennessee.
Exactly.
Let me tell y'all what's
happening. Any specific happenings that happened on this date? Because when is Dr. King's original birthday?
I don't even know.
We celebrated on that particular day, but that's not his original birthday.
then I have not a clue.
He was born on January 15th. But anyway, I'm going to let you go, Curly. A nice show as usual. And I'm sure there'll be something else in the new future.
Thank you, Ben.
Knowing you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yo, let me talk about the second-degree murder charge. The second-degree murder charge of Tennessee says knowing killing of another. Knowing, K-N-O-W-I. Okay, it says in a prosecution for a violation of this section, if the defendant knowingly engages in multiple incidents of domestic abuse, assault, or the infliction of bodily injury against a single victim, it says the trier of fact may infer that the defendant was aware that the cumulative effect of the conduct was reasonably certain to result in the death of the victim, regardless of whether any single incident would have resulted in the death. So they're saying just your actions alone, repeated actions, should have let you know you were putting somebody's life in jeopardy. So if that's the case, this is exactly what it was. And so the second, it's another charge that was very troubling, y'all. The aggravated assault. Act in concert. Mm. Now, this is something I've never seen before where they add act in concert to it. And that says, first of all, we're just going to deal with the aggravated assault part. So the aggravated assault says a person commits aggravated assault who intentionally and knowingly commits an assault as defined in Section 39.13.101, causes serious bodily injury to another, or uses or displays a deadly weapon, recklessly commits an assault as defined in that code, and then also causes serious bodily injury to another. Now, this is where it gets tricky, y'all. But remember, they added to the end of that act in concert. So I looked at what that meant, and this is crazy. Basically, that's a higher classification for a crime of force or violence when acting in concert. Basically, a crime of force or violence committed while acting in concert with two or more other persons shall be classified one classification higher if it was committed alone. But if it, so you see what I'm saying? So just the fact that multiple people were beating up on him added this act in concert. So if yes, you beat me up, then you would have been charged with aggravated assault. But the fact he had two or more other people, that upped the damn charge. I ain't mad at him. So somebody really was digging, huh?
That's conspiracy enhancement. So, yeah, you got it right.
Oh, is that what you call that what?
That's like the rule, the conspiracy enhancement. They have two ways of doing it. They have two ways of doing it. They can do it the way that you decided, or it's a fluke of the law. They can say conspiracy enhancement of every charge, and what that does is that upgrades that charge from a second degree to a third degree or a Class C misdemeanor to a state jail felony just on the conspiracy enhancement. Or not a Class C misdemeanor, but a Class A misdemeanor. And then the other one that they do, if they want to be nice to you in the case, is they just nail you with one single crime called engaging in organized criminal activity. So the conspiracy enhancement
requires
worse.
It almost looked like that. Because
but that would have been a lower.
What they did was premeditated. The bruh ran.
Yeah.
Officer sat over there because one officer got exposed to pepper spray. So really, y'all could have just digressed if you're going to put a warrant out for a towing squad or whatever and cited him then. But you hunted this cat down like this dude robbed a bank or committed an aggravated robbery or kidnapping or something.
Right.
You sought this man out.
And they're really, you know, in my opinion, if you really want to be transparent, since you say that he was, you know, committing, the crime was reckless driving, we at least should have seen the dash cam video where we saw the car driving sporadically. You know what I'm saying? But
I question the reckless driving, and just like you said, sis, because we didn't see the definition of reckless driving. And part of that, I don't think it ain't nothing to show because that ain't what he did. As hard-nosed as that DA was in IAD in Attorney Affairs Department in the DA's office, they wasn't trying to suppress a doggone thing. It's just the point that they told a hot-ass lie, and that hot-ass lie caught up to their ass because they went in, they forgot about that XN overhead cameras that was in them neighborhoods. That's what that man said this morning. The commissioner, he used to be the commissioner of tennis, Memphis. He said, they voted those in maybe a year or so ago. He said, we would thought because it was, trying to monitor, people committing crimes, that they'll catch their own police department doing something illegal.
That was Van Turner, the president of the NAACP there. But you know, in my opinion, his mother said when they stopped him that he had his blinker on and he was about to make a turn into their neighborhood. Well, that said, if he didn't know them because they were in unlocked cars, then why was he obeying the law? You see what I'm saying? If you're in a light and you put your blinker on and so it just makes me question, like, okay, they're not being totally transparent about why they stopped him, and I think that's why they didn't show us the beginning because of that.
I mean, as officers, first thing the PO, the PO ain't gonna tell them to shut up.
The PO ain't gonna tell who?
The officers.
Well, of course they're not talking to
them. I mean, they thought they was gonna get by, Kerry.
But two of them have already lawyered up. So those two that have lawyered up have already said
they just told a hot-ass lie like they always do. Thought their ass was gonna get by, and the shit ricocheted the wrong way because they've been getting by.
And
they
just
ain't
really
started doing that bullshit yesterday.
This charge of aggravated kidnapping was just very strange to me because rarely, police pull you over. They tell you to stop what you're doing. Basically they can detain you or they can arrest you. So I found it very strange that they accused them of kidnapping. And kidnapping in Tennessee falls under the code 39-13305. And it says, especially aggravated kidnapping is a Class A felony. If the offender voluntarily releases the victim alive or voluntarily provides informative information leading to the victim's safe release, such action shall be considered by the court as a mitigating factor at the time of sentencing. So the fact that they didn't release him alive changes everything.
Exactly.
So that's why
they have no authority to do. That's not their damn job.
But that's probably why they wanted to pretend he was still alive, because they're thinking about all these. Yeah. So a lot of people, FYI, for anybody who doesn't know, a lot of people believe that Tyree actually died at the scene. That's why they say that the fire department, people at the fire department and people with the Memphis Fire Department and the EMTs have been let go as well, because they believe when they got on the scene, Tyree Nichols was already deceased. And what they did was covered it up by picking up his body and putting it on the stretcher and taking it to the hospital as though he was alive. Now, someone at the hospital...
They didn't render no aid.
And I think when the paramedics got there and realized what was going on, I think they did not want to participate in it. And whoever tossed them into it, shame on them. But I believe it would have to be someone pretty high up to get you to do something that stupid. But I believe they did call the mother, and they did tell the mother that he was in the hospital. And what they said was he had been tased and pepper sprayed, but they told her she couldn't come. However, the doctor at the hospital called the mother back and told her that she needed to get up there because his kidneys, he had gone into cardiac arrest, and his kidneys were failing. And I think that was just a clue, get up here, even though he probably knew he was dead or knew he's a doctor. Of course, he knew he was dead. But they had him on life support as though he was still alive.
Yeah.
Right.
But pay attention to the photo, y'all. They
just It couldn't be my brother.
Absolutely.
Ain't no way in hell I'd be worried about marching on goddamn bridge. Fuck that bridge. I've been in front of that goddamn house. Nigga, you ain't finna go to the grocery store. You ain't finna do none of that shit. Your mama, your granny, your kids.
Well, see, I think the protesters are smart, though, because if you start engaging them and then somebody gets hurt, you know what I'm saying, because they got weapons.
I said protest. I ain't finna do shit to them. You ain't finna get an English. You ain't finna get a day of rest to this goddamn trial.
Well, you know what? They're disrupting business at the city. I mean, they get the attention of the people who make the decisions. So, you know, and the fact being Crump is still there.
They walk around here in fancy free like they ain't did shit.
But Stephanie,
ask a question. Carrie, that chief, she stated that, like I said, let me be real with y'all. When it comes to these type of matters, time ago I disconnected myself from this stuff because it just gets in your spirit. It makes you go another route. So I ain't been following this one. I ain't even watched the video. I try to keep this stuff out my inner man. But I can follow along with the conversation, and you know, just based on how you are talking.
I don't get what you're saying, bro. That's something that could happen to anybody. What you mean?
I just said it.
You pro-police?
My question was, so the chief stated that she waited till the late evenings to release you. You know, and then, you know, we're going into the weekends. So, you know, as far as disrupting business, that must have been calculated because, like you said, it's been going on for some time now. So why wait till the evening, Friday evening to do it? And it's going to the weekend, and you know what's going on with that? That's my
observation. Well, I can tell you what's up with that. I can tell you what's up with that.
Business.
First of all,
they
were letting
people,
right. They were letting people finish out their work week. As a matter of fact, the city of Memphis shut down today. Right. That's exactly what it was. They were letting people get home from Friday before the protesters got out in the street. So they were trying to separate the protesters from, you know, the people who were going home from work. So they were going to let them get home safely before they released the tape, and then whatever's going to happen. And like I said, I saw some video earlier where they already on the bridge. So it's about to happen. And I don't think, you know, the protesters that I see that are leading the protest, they appear to be very peaceful to me. Cassio Montez, Cleo Burris.
Oh, you talking about that PFL group, that lesbian gay group? That's for the hijacking, and they say, you know, they were coming over to help.
No, Cassio Montez, no, Frank Gotti, no. These are guys. And Cleo Burris is a female, and Amber. So, no, they're not like that. Y'all have to follow them on social media.
And who is this PSL group out of Atlanta? I don't see them talking about women rights and all this other crap.
But, no, they ain't leading the protest in Memphis, though. I'm talking about the protesters in Memphis. No, they're not leading that. I'm watching that protest very, or the protesters, very closely on social media.
That PSL group. That PSL group.
I don't know.
Some group out of Atlanta. Some, you know, they on their whole page, they talk about women rights and all that stuff. Probably a whole bunch of lesbians.
But are they part of this protest?
Yeah, I just researched them.
No, they're not. Mm-mm. It's about four, or it's probably about, I guess, maybe 15 of these people, but the top ones are the ones that I just mentioned, and I watch their pages every day. Yeah, they're very peaceful. Cassio is, we call him the general. Cassio Montez is the general down there, and he's very level-headed. You know, I mean, in terms of he's not out there seeking the fame part of it. He just really feels like it could have been him, it could have been his son, it could have been anybody. And so
right.
He just is out there for that reason.
This PSL pop-up group out of Atlanta.
I don't know them at all.
I know. I'm just saying. I ain't never. I didn't learn about them till today.
Really?
But I just was on their page. What they about?
No, they ain't with them. Let me say this, y'all. Pianki said something when he was on earlier, and he might be right, and I hate to say Pianki right because he loves to be right, but the truth be told, what the police chief did, she got on CNN talking to Don Lemon, I think she really got starstruck. I really do, because what she said, I don't know that that's not exactly what our leadership just got in trouble with the Aaron Dean trial. These are some of the things she said. She said, he asked her, when did she first find out? She said, I found out about 4 a.m. that morning. So you know what happened that night? And so in the wee hours of morning or the next day, 4 a.m., she was told. So she said she got up and she came to the office and they reviewed the tape. And so she said, these are her words, y'all. These acts were what she called defying humanity. She said it was a disregard for life. She went on to say the duty of care that they're sworn to was not handled right. They say, she said, a level of physical interaction that's above and beyond what is required by law enforcement. So wouldn't she get in trouble for exactly what Bessie Bryson got in trouble for saying with the Aaron Dean case, that she can't say that because it creates a bias towards the defendant?
What you mean?
Even though she's telling the truth.
Nah, she's just being transparent. She did what the people told her.
But can't she do that as the truth, though?
She did what them people told her to say.
Oh, well, there you have it. That's
what the counsel told her to say. You think she and what the city lawyer told her to say. She ain't went out there and just winging it. She did what the mayor told her.
Can I just go with my speculative vibe?
This is not factual.
There's no evidence. There's no evidence out there, and I'm not trying to be inflammatory or nothing. But what I'm seeing play out is you're right about. I think all the video came out, but the fact transparency is not there. I think they know a lot of things, and here's what I'm gonna say. Here's what I'm gonna speculate, and I'm not trying to say it's speculation. But this is a vibe. I saw the brother come out today, and I mean, I'm not making judgment or anything like that. But the fact, one fact that gives me reason to infer this speculation is this was the Scorpion unit, right?
Right.
And this Scorpion unit, an unmarked car, five guys, whatever it was, they were in unmarked cars. So what I think is that they had his house under surveillance for some reason.
Whoa.
I'm just going to speculate. I'm just going to speculate that it didn't have nothing to do with this Mr. Nichols,
right.
The person that Tyree.
Right.
So because the buyout, everything that we got about him, and I saw it on video, they opened the door, jumped on him. He was just like it matched everything. There's no nothing in his pocket hiding. They didn't even try to plant no dope on him or nothing. What I'm thinking is, that the brother or somebody else in the family or something like that was in some racket, maybe, and the cops were in some racket, and this was a stakeout, and I think that it started out. I think that this started out as you know, kind of like a way to send a signal, you know. I don't think
and you know
police
what?
Activity
I would say, you know, if it was a different situation, I would probably say, well, maybe we don't know. But what we do know is that his mother, father, and him all worked at FedEx. So they went to work together, came home together, that kind of thing. And so that narrative doesn't really fly. I think his other siblings live like in California. So they're not even in the Memphis area.
So one that was on TV wasn't there?
If he was there, he may have just come in.
I'm not stereotyping at all. I really am not.
I'm just trying
to vibe things out.
Saying, it don't add up, bro.
I'm not going to argue it.
So you going to put some shit out there and we ain't supposed to say nothing? That's what you trying to tell us, Chris?
No, you can say it. I'm just telling you that I ain't
going to defend it. I'm just saying, well, then you put it out there. And we saying, dang, what that is. But then again, you backtracking, talking about this, that, and the other. So think before you chunk something out there, bro.
I'm just saying that there's more to it than what we know. That's all.
Let me tell you something about
people that get them jobs, man. Quit thinking these people are normal. Something wrong with them cats mentally, bro.
I agree.
These dudes got some serious self-esteem problems. They take anabolic steroids.
Mm-hmm.
They all of them are just about alcoholics. They got something that in they tickle that's going, they are allowing. We don't know how much lead exposed they get exposed to.
Yeah.
You got to find out what's driving these dudes crazy. What are they doing in that department that every, these officers with this ugly conduct?
I agree.
We got people that got all kinds of occupations.
But let me talk about these.
You know,
Let me talk about this narrative.
Why are they acting the way they do?
Let me talk about this narrative. First of all, he was a skateboarder. You know, they said never been in any trouble, no past criminal history at all. So but it still seems that the whole thing appears to be very personal. So, you know, that's why I think they're not showing the beginning of the tape, because I think whatever the personal issue was probably discussed on that initial stop at the beginning. And I think that's what they don't want us to know, what this was really about.
Why
wouldn't
they? What I'm just saying. If they're going to be that transparent, I don't see them trying to protect these officers.
But no. Let me finish. I don't believe when Chief C.J. Davis, says that she still doesn't know what this is all about. I don't believe that. I absolutely don't believe that. I don't believe that all those officers, but all they have to lose right now are somebody's not telling the truth. So I believe that they know. They just know that would just add fuel to the fire. So they're just not saying that whatever this was personal, because then let me say this. If you say that it was personal, then it ain't second degree murder, it's first degree murder, because it's premeditated, you know, that you were going to harm him. It resulted in his death. So I think if you say that it was personal, then it makes it first degree murder. That's just my opinion. But
well, number one, you can say they're looking at the payout. They know they're going to have to pay it off.
And well, I think possibly.
I mean, they know they're going to have to pay these people.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got to sit still by the city and the commissioner of what they want to pay.
But you know, Kerry, you said the chief putting out that narrative. If possibly, you know, her job is tied to it as well. If you know, she's seen everything that transpired, and she know everything. But you know, the next, you know, most time they be asked for the chief's job next. You know, you got to step down because of you operate the department. So let them fall on the sword, and let me just act like I'm, you know, be transparent as I can. But I'm gonna save my job. I'm going to save my position.
And I agree with you, Adrian. The problem is her job probably cannot even be salvaged at this point due to this whole situation. And then the second thing, this is an election year in Memphis for city leadership. So we're electing a new mayor. They're electing a new mayor in Memphis. So more than likely, you know, when you change administrations, you change police chiefs. So I doubt a new police chief is going to take her into their administration after this happens, you know, because you
Joe
know,
Brown ain't
do,
no,
no.
As many times we're hoping to get Joe. Go ahead.
Does the chief have to be? You say so? Are they taking a new mayor? They automatically, or do they have to? Does the new mayor make the recommendations as far as? You said so. When they take on a new, if they take on a new mayor, the new that chief doesn't stay. How does that work?
He has the right to fire him. City mayor.
Yeah,
most
cases,
of them get rid of. Okay.
Yeah, like when Strickland came in, which is current mayor, Mayor Strickland, it was Tony Armstrong was the police chief there, and Strickland basically said, you need to put in your resignation because we're not going with you. And Tony didn't really initially want to quit, it seemed, but he was forced out, and Strickland brought in who he wanted. So he brought in Rollins, and Rollins left early, and now C.J. Davis is there. But, yeah, so Yeah, they typically bring in their own people in Memphis. I don't know how they do it here, but yeah, they bring in their own people.
I mean, no, because, you know, you can get fired or anything. Nine times out of ten, they're going to bring their own people in. That's how it goes.
And most police chiefs only last 5 years.
This is the thing that I'm struggling to understand about, because I'm retired from the military, and, you know, it works. And, I mean, it's not a personal thing, but there is a, you know, when you accept a command, you know what I'm saying? When you accept a command position in the military, whether it be once you get up past lieutenant and captain, if there's an investigation and it shows any kind of neglect, if I, as a soldier, I knew that there were cases where a battalion commander or even a colonel, a full-bird colonel of a whole brigade, if a soldier went out and got drunk and came to his room and went to his room and choked and died choking on his own puke because he was hungover, that's a demerit. That's a very serious demerit, and their job is on the line. It's not a personal thing, but you get relieved of your command, and it's not personal. It's just saying, look, it's time for we gotta shuffle the deck. It's just and I don't know why we haven't got to that point. We got this thing with, I'm pissed off because of Fitzgerald, because this guy, he was putting down aces or high cards in every aspect of the wedding. And then the one before him got us with under consent agenda, or what is that, consent order, was it Halstead?
Yeah.
Or Fitzgerald? Yeah. He got us put under Fitzgerald because he got the city sued for civil rights violations, and then they brought in Fitzgerald, and they just went berserk. And so he was laying down high cards in every category, and then we get the little interim thing with what's his name?
Krause.
And now we got Noakes. Well, Krause left because sort of I think Krause was just a he wasn't ever gonna it was a bridge. But now we got
His wife said when she retired, she was done. That was more his wife calling the card
but
on that, said she ain't gonna say she want a job.
That's what
you
I'm saying.
You had enough of it.
You get,
did 20
you get,
plus years.
You get one or two. Yeah, you get one or
you know,
two. It's like a rodeo. It's like a rodeo. This is Cowtown, right? You get one or two rides on the bull, man, and if you don't ride your 8 seconds and you get bucked the fuck off, you just fucking need to walk off the stage, man. And it's not personal.
And, you know, the stuff they got caught up with Fitzgerald, you know, which Kraft stealing, he's still up under the gun for that, you know.
Yeah.
I guess his wife had, she had enough, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she's older, man. People enjoy their life.
Let's talk about these other two charges. You know, they also got charged with official misconduct and official oppression. Official misconduct basically applies to a public official who have an affirmative duty to act and refuse to do, misuse their official authority for private gain. And then it says the public servant commits an offense who, with intent to obtain a benefit or harm another intentionally or knowingly. So they got him there. And then there's last charge.
That's a breach of contract. It's just basically saying that's a breach of contract because based on oath, you know, you're a public servant, and you breach what you said you're going to do on paper when you got sworn in.
The official misconduct they got them. What they did is they put the whole freaking stinky turd of the law on them, everything that could stick. They did, and I agree with that. They read into it, and they got everything that they could but here's the thing. The way official misconduct comes in, because you're going to think about double jeopardy possibly or overcharging, but it doesn't. The official misconduct comes in on the fact that they all had a duty to stop each other, like what you said, right? Mm. Even if they didn't hit him, even if they didn't hit him or do anything to him. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to do with the assault. So you got that official misconduct. And now mm-hmm. what people are kind of trying to say is how do you hit with official misconduct and official oppression? Well, what official oppression means is that you actually abused the person. You abused his constitutional rights. It has,
correct.
But the official misconduct has to do with the neglect of duty. The official oppression has to do with the deprivation of constitutional rights or the abuse.
You didn't render aid. You didn't do none of the stuff that you said that you took an oath on based on contract that you when you signed up to be a police officer. So you did something totally opposite of what you was trained to do specifically. And so what that is that they ain't trying to miss a beat with these cats. You know, you did it. You own up to it, whatever, you know, it's just like they threw the book at them, really, Chris. That's all it is. I mean, just like in the military. I listen to my friends, man. You know, when you mess up, they're going to hit you hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
you go through that tribunal.
And
the Navy is cold-blooded. That's one place you don't want to get in trouble at, for my classmates told me, because the Navy don't play.
No,
and
they can put you in the Navy. In the Navy, they put you on bread and water rations.
Right, right.
You hear me? When you get on they'll put you on 2 weeks restriction, and you'll be on bread and water rations.
because I've been sick this week, I can't keep up with y'all. But okay, listen. Official oppression, according to Tennessee law, y'all says a public servant acting under the color of office or employment commits an offense to intentionally subjects another to mistreatment or to arrest, detention, stop, frisk, halt, search, seizure, dispossession, assessment, or lien when the public servant knows the conduct is unlawful. They got him.
Right.
They got him. I mean, and y'all listen, I was trying to figure out who did it, as they say, who done it. And I think I know who they're saying was the ring leaders based on their bond. Two of them got $350,000 bonds, while the rest of them, the other three, got $250,000 bonds. So they're saying Emmett Martin III got a $350,000 bond, and so did Demetrius Haley. They got $350,000 bonds. Everybody else got $250,000 bond. So that leads me to believe that somebody thinks they were the ringleaders. I don't know why I would get a higher bond if I didn't do much. So that kind of thing.
I mean, it looks like, okay, you're going IAD, right? He come off in there saying it's me and Chris, right? And we're looking at this video from our Exxon cameras and Exxon and turn it over, boom, boom, boom. First thing they're going to do, they're going to give you a chance to tell that narrative. And somebody went off in there and told a hot-ass lie. And some of them may have broke. Motherfucker going to tell it.
What?
I said, they going to tell it. somebody did some talking off in there.
But they not all
you
the
talking
way
about that time, you're going to break. I guarantee you.
Now, yo, I'm saying
I guarantee you. One of those two that got their $250,000 bond, then don't turn state evidence.
I'm not sure what was going on last night. I don't know what was going on last night, but I was watching the charges, and I saw everybody was charged with the same thing except this one person, and he didn't show any charges, and that was Desmond Mills. I looked on. Desmond Mills didn't show any charges. And so I think, remember initially when it came out, it said they were waiting for someone to give their story before they released what happened. And so they said that person may have just been observing or whatever. And so I think that was Mills. So I believe Mills may have been the person.
Let me ask y'all this. Y'all think Mills was an infiltrator? Or didn't they, when they looking at this particular group, when they up under investigation?
What do you mean infiltrator? What does that mean?
I'm talking about that particular group, spider group, or whatever Chris says.
What does that mean? I don't understand what you're saying.
No, I was saying that group. I said that dude, for him to get no charges, and in order for him to get no charges, you he didn't went off and then told something.
Let me see what Mills age. I think Mills is the oldest one. Mills happens to be the 32-year-old. So, you know, he also got the $250,000. But I think, you know, he just may have been the one that said, hey, I ain't in that. And still you get charged because you're
somebody, he went off in there and told it. You think the chief ain't with the Mills?
Why the hell would I go to jail? First of all, the camera should show he didn't have anything to do with it. But second of all, why would I not tell the truth when you got a body cam that's going to tell what happened anyway? So
that's what he did. Exactly.
That part. And, y'all, another thing I caught, too, I don't know if you all know it, Dimitri Nichols was only 145 pounds. He was 6'4". And
right.
I looked at the average weight on the report, on the arrest reports for these guys. These guys were huge. Tadarius Bean was 230. Emmett Martin was 270. Justin Smith, 205 pounds. Dimitri Haley, 260 pounds. And Desmond Mills, 297.
I guarantee you they didn't come into the academy. They did not come into the academy at that weight.
Well,
I promise you.
Obviously, Memphis ain't keeping up. The 297 don't even make it.
On those Bulldog crews, they be juicy.
And he a jump out boy, and Mills is 297 pounds. Let me finish. I can't keep up with y'all having the voice tonight. Mills was only 5'10 and 297 pounds, so he's way overweight, right?
Yeah, exactly. I said they on that blow up.
Okay, or something. So these guys are in a lot of trouble, but this is what I think. They're trying to create the Tyrese Nichols bill or law, and I think the law should say a whole bunch of stuff. One thing I think the law should say is it is absolutely your responsibility to tell when your officer friend does not do his job. It is your responsibility to tell on him. I think it absolutely should say that. I think it is your responsibility to interfere if another officer is beating somebody down or about to kill someone for nothing. I think it should be your responsibility as an officer to intervene. You should grab his arm and say, no, we're not going
to
do that.
That needs to be all the way across in every police department in America.
Absolutely. And I think when you see trouble, you ought to be on the radio too saying, hey, we need help over here. You know, I don't care who get in trouble. You scream for some help. We need a supervisor on the scene ASAP. You know, so all of that needs to go into play.
They've been corrupt for so long, that blue coat of hunting and all that old bullshit. You got a group of okay cops. You got a group of cops. And you got them low, nasty-ass rogue gangsters.
Yeah. It's
broke up into 3-4.
I'm going to say right up.
It all has to do with leadership. That's the only profession I ever seen in my goddamn life where the ultimate supervisor don't take no accountability.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. And just like Mike McCarthy. He had to fire some folks. And I don't care what you do. Professional sports, that coach is responsible for everything. He gonna be the first one to go out that door.
But I think this is clear. There has to be an overhaul of that whole dismantling of that jump out boy, that scorpion unit. They need to be dismantled. Absolutely no more scorpion team, no more jump out boys in unmarked cars because Memphis is far too dangerous. For anybody who doesn't know that team.
Did y'all have anybody from California? Because all that shit is California taxes. The house that brought that shit here.
I can't keep up with you, Malik. I'm hoarse tonight. But listen.
I said Halstead brought that California style of police. I said,
right.
Did anybody have somebody from California in that department?
No, that's what I'm saying. No, but here what I'm saying. Memphis is a very bad city right now. There's a lot of crime, y'all. There's a lot of carjacking. There's a lot of all types of crimes, robberies, assaults, that type of thing. It's not even the kind of city where someone in an unmarked car wouldn't scare the shit out of you, if the truth be told. And so I could absolutely see it's nighttime and somebody gonna jump out of an unmarked car. I mean, that scared the crap out of you in Memphis because you really don't know what's going on. So it absolutely doesn't even make any sense that jump out boys would be getting somebody on a reckless driving thing. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I understand. They did not start that yesterday. They've been running roads like that all the while. This ain't starting. That starts with their commander, which I ain't seen. Who's the commander over that unit? Where he is?
I think whoever is supervising the unit needs to be fired as well, because you can't tell me.
His ass needs to be fired. If I'm the chief, I'm slanging his ass right on out that door.
Okay. The problem
when
is
when it comes down to it. I believe they probably resign.
I can't keep up with you because I'm telling you, I'm hoarse tonight. The supervisor had to come to the scene that night. The supervisor had to be there to tell him what to do after everything went crazy. Why isn't he losing his job? Why? So somebody told those EMTs to falsify that paperwork. So, and I don't believe that an officer 24 could tell me to jeopardize my job. I'd be like, you must be crazy. So I think somebody higher up in the Memphis Police Department told those fire officers, fire department people, and the EMTs to do what wasn't right. And then, by the way, we don't know who the people were, but the fire department that got fired. We don't know who the people were, but the EMTs that got fired. So why are they keeping their name secret? Because, you know, they have a story to tell, and they're just as guilty in many ways. So, but for whatever reason, again, CJ Davis, I applaud you for firing the officers, because indeed they should have been fired. But at the same time, I really do not believe that you're being as transparent as you need to be about this whole thing. That's just my take on this. There's a whole lot going on.
Who runs her?
Jim Strickland is the mayor of Memphis. And he runs her, and a lot of people believe, and I'm not saying this, I know for a fact, but a lot of people believe that he hired CJ Davis because he could control the police department. So I don't know, but I feel bad for her because she's not gonna have a job much longer.
Is she from Memphis?
No, she was hired from outside. In fact, Chief Fitzgerald applied for that job, and they did not hire him. But you know what? One of the things they're calling for tonight, y'all, and I think this is a boss move. They're asking the Fraternal Order of Police, what do you think? Are you going to co-sign the behavior of these guys? Are you saying this is okay? And that's something that has never been said before. The POA normally gets behind the officer, finances their legal defense, and whatever happens. But in this particular case, Ben Crump, them are saying, hey, Fraternal Order of Police, what you going to do? Which is that's a boss move. That's never been done before. And I think, as a matter of fact, Ben Crump said that he hoped that this particular situation, this incident with the Tyrese Nichols case, will be a blueprint for across the country. And I am hoping the same, that other people take notice that this is the way it's supposed to happen. You know, it should be some level of transparency. It should be quick arrest when you know and you see the body cam. If you're the police chief and you can say it was horrible and it wasn't done right and you know, it wasn't all the terms that she used, and I forgot what they were now, all the terms that she used, go back on what she said. But she was very clear. This ain't the way you are supposed to be handling no arrest. Y'all ain't trained that way. And then one of the officers, y'all, by the way, did an Aaron Dean. He said, I was following my training. I said, somebody been listening to Jim Lane. He said, I did what I was trained to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, that's
on the city. When they contract, all that's contract. So the city lawyer need to take time, quit being sorry and lazy, and go through these contracts and look at what they doing and dissected what they going to allow and what they ain't going to allow before they sign these contracts.
What contracts? With who?
Well, they on the contract. They got a contract with the city.
You mean the police? The police officer? The police? Oh, so a police officer has a contract with the city?
Yeah.
The police department or every individual police officer?
No, the Fort Worth POA does the contract. The police officers they have like the civil service protection. That's it.
What?
Contract. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, Malik.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I did. Okay. Well, so but the thing is this. First of all, we're giving the Fraternal Order of Police too much power to begin with. That's why so many rogue cops feel like they got a blank check to do whatever they want to do and nobody can stop them. That's how so many people are dying. One of the chants that they were saying on the bridge tonight, y'all, in Memphis, they said, please don't shoot me dead. I got my hands above my head. Why would we have to say that to police? You see what I'm saying? I mean, why would you not feel safe when you got your hands up in the air and they can clearly see you don't have a weapon? We shouldn't be afraid of the police who are supposed to be there to protect and serve us. And yet we're fearing when we get stopped by them that we may not make it home. I think I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, the police are scared and, you know, they want to make it home. But don't they know that we want to make it home too?
Hey, Carrie. Let me say something about that narrative that's so often put in the atmosphere for people to feed off of. Now, Christopher spoke to the military aspect. I can speak to the military aspect. When I took that oath, I knew what I was getting into. It's a possibility that if push comes to shove, I possibly could die. You know what I'm saying? I did a tour of duty. I signed up knowing what I was getting into, knowing the possibility that my life, I could die or I could end up come back injured, this, that, or the other. But I took that oath. I knew what I was getting into. They take this oath. That's what I always say. They take this oath, know what they're getting into. Then all of a sudden, one of them die, everybody want to go, oh, woo, woo, woo. I said, but they knew what they were signing up for. Death is a part. It comes with that occupation. It's a possibility of death with that occupation. It's death with any occupation, if you ask me. But it's like when law enforcement, we think about law enforcement, we supposed to stop everything when a law enforcement officer died. We supposed to stop everything. I'm like, but they took an oath. That oath tells them that this job is a high-risk job for the possibility. I'm sorry, death is a possibility because of this type of job, because of the type of people you might run into. You know what I'm saying? So,
but doesn't that make you go out there every day and proceed with caution rather than being out there and being aggressive and, you know, basically not de-escalating in some situation, escalating situations? Doesn't that make you go out there more cautiously?
It really should, but we know, you know what, it really should, but you know, like you say, the history of policing, everybody, like they say, you got to know the roots of law enforcement. They say, you know why it was started? They used to call it what patrol?
Slave.
Help me out, Malik. What kind of patrol was it,
Malik?
Slave catcher patrol.
That's what it was.
That evil root that's embedded into, you said, the Fraternal Order of Police. Every time I hear some fraternal, I think about something Masonic, something mm-hmm. wicked, something evil. Something. Every time you say fraternal, I hate that. That's wickedness. They got a hold on society to where people, like you say, if you speak out against them, if you come up against them, you're putting your life in danger because how they operate. You know how they, you know, like you said, the stuff you went through, Terry. You know what I'm saying? But law enforcement, I'm sure a lot of people, the ones who do sign up, want to probably sign up with the job and say, okay, I want to be an officer. But once they get into it, that atmosphere, you know, that it's a wow. Is it really like this? Oh, my goodness. The evilness, the stuff that they see in her, and, you know, we don't hear about the police officers who just say, you know what, this ain't for me no more. You know, we don't ever hear about the ones who quit and just say, you know what I'm saying? You know what, Terry, what I think would be a good show for you, a good show, somebody just go off a record. They can go off a record. We need somebody just to go off record. They can disguise their voice. Tell us what's going on within the inner workings of law. We know.
but we need somebody on the inside that, what's the inner workings of law enforcement? You know what
I'm
saying? What's really going on?
You know what? It's the guy in hiding right now. Golly, his name escapes me. He was a New York police officer, and he saw some stuff going on that wasn't right, and he told on them, and they tried to kill him. Serpico.
That was a good one.
That's a real story. I know somebody who knows Serpico, and Serpico is still in hiding today for telling what he knew. And I know an officer out of Dallas PD who basically did the same thing, and his partner tried to kill it. I mean, and so it happened a lot more than we realize. And I think that's why most people just kind of go along to get along and don't say anything. But I don't know how I could work there if I kept seeing that kind of stuff every day and I just bit my tongue so that I could keep getting my check. I think I would find something else to do. Because that's the
let me ask a quick question. Do you all think it goes beyond police? You know, some they take an oath, but they take an oath to serve the city, this, that, or the other. But whatever's on the other side of that oath, that do you think they're not presenting it to all officers? I think they're presented to certain officers. I know they're not presented to all officers. The other side of law enforcement. Go ahead, bro.
It's about whatever organization that has infiltrated the police department. By 2008, I was doing a study. Don't you know there's been, which the federal government noticed that groups like the Aryan Brotherhood and the KKK, go back even further, that have infiltrated the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They know this, bro.
Right.
I sit up there and read. Last time I was around an officer that was a negotiator, this man had a tattoo 1776 and had two thunderbolts on his arm. I'm looking dead at him. He caught me reading his tattoos, which I was getting ready to take photos of this so I can turn it into notes. This is the type of shit they got on. See, I know how to read their tattoos, bro. And another thing, they don't go bald. Them young white boys don't go bald.
Oh, Malik. Malik.
You got to know how they move, man. Only thing you got to do is sit back and watch them. They hitting off in the special response teams. Just like they want to. That's the only thing I've told Noakes. Only thing you got to do is strip them cats down and look at their tattoos. If I see it, how the world you don't see it? Because he part of it. So, you know, I had a privilege of actually one of my dad's friends from Waco, Cleveland, Pimpton, was one of the first African-American officers. Mr. Joe Name was one of the first African-American. And they told me what the type of things and the things they had to fight for to get, you know, things right. But in our police department, you know, they just passive, too passive. They don't fight for nothing. They go along to get along. Man, I'm just here to get my check, woo, woo, wah, wah, you know, on our end. And they get handled the way they get handled, bro. But that's just been part of the culture. They ain't finna turn it loose. They drop 5, 6, 7, 8,000 on the city councilmen, judges. So when they do have issues like these, it's bought and paid for. And that's how the game go. And they drop money on the prosecutor, you know. And so it is what it is. But social media has become a weapon against them, and these cameras have become a weapon against them. So them old tactics that they've been getting by with is being rightfully exposed, you know. So it is what it is.
But Adrian, don't you remember what I did?
Go ahead,
Carrie. Hey, I'm going to say that we should watch, because I have a premonition, because just historically speaking, and what we've seen with what I said, I think I mentioned this before, the real interesting thing that we the contrast between Fort Worth and Memphis is when this thing popped off, within 24 hours, the community had the authorities bowing down. They were like, yep, right? There was no, They were not trying to freaking put up no floodgates on this. You know what I mean? The chief and everybody.
I'm gonna piggyback off that. You're right, and I'm gonna tell you what I noticed about the difference in those protesters there and the protesters here. Those people went out there with a small group, but they were consistent. You see, thinking, well, if it's just me, I ain't going. If it's just, you know, five of us, I ain't going. But they had about five sometimes, and they kept showing up. And so people were paying attention because they kept making themselves so visible. And so I think that's what you don't see in Fort Worth. People will come out, you know, for that initial 1 or 2 days or whatever. They did a long time for the George Floyd protest, but typically they don't do it that long. They come and they go. But I really have
but
to admire the protest in Memphis because they have been consistent.
I'll just throw out the history there because what you understand in Memphis particularly – the history of the civil rights movement, but there's some other abstracts of that. There was a thing called the Highlander Folk School that wasn't too far from there. And the Highlander Folk School was a big deal. You know, I don't know if you know about that.
Mm-mm.
And it was where Rosa Parks came out of. It was a folk school. Anyway, you know, and everybody, what you think about Rosa Parks being just, I woke up one day and I'm tired of it, there's more truth to that.
No,
and
man, we know the narrative.
Hey, Terry.
We know the narrative behind all that. We know
Terry,
it was orchestrated by the Jews. We ain't on no late show about that, bro.
I'm going there, but I'm just saying that there is a what you see get off the launch pad right off the bat. The missiles flying right off the bat when this happened was that found that history of the civil rights in Memphis, that community and everything, the church people and everything like that, they were united, and there was no, I mean, they were in formation straight up. And so the city and all of this bullshit that we got going on in Fort Worth with them, controlling narratives, blah, 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 and half-ass
right.
charging everything, that this is what we need. People need to watch this in Fort Worth, and we need to get together like that and put the heat on, you know?
It's not because Fort Worth is too cliquish until we tear the wall down. And expose those who sit up and smile in our face and get behind closed doors and doing some other after they get their check. That's the nature of the beast. They make enough noise until the city slide them their check, and that's been the history of Fort Worth for a long time.
Yeah, what's that thought? Did you lose that thought? You about to ask me something. What was that?
Yeah, I was about to tell you. Remember years ago when I did that show, I told you when I did the Klan people. Remember what he told me about they don't do no burning crosses no more? They've infiltrated
right.
judges and yeah, school teachers and law enforcement. So they are absolutely, they ain't doing the same radical stuff. They're doing it so that they don't have to go to jail no more.
Well,
because
a lot of the laws are in place and it's costing them too much money. They've been sued so many times, you know. They went broke.
Hey Malik, you did speak to something. You spoke to something that does catch my attention quite often. The balding of those officers. That nothing else stands out. They be bald and they always wearing shades. You know what? I can't stand nobody in my presence with shades on talking to me. Look, take them shades off. Look me in the eye. You stand around with shades on. That lets me know. You know what I'm saying? Look me in the eye.
You drunk or high?
Wow.
That's why he don't want you to see because they are drunk or high. One or two.
Oh, listen, y'all. Them officers. like you say, like y'all stated, each media outlet they getting the sensationalization out of this as much as possible. They putting out this, some putting out that. Now y'all know Fox 4 don't care. Fox 4 just straight up just whatever. They just put it in your face. They just straight up whatever. They had control of the picture. They had control. Let me ask y'all this. I ain't trying to put nothing into the scenario. They had control of the situation, right? They had control. You had your guns drawn. You jacked him out of his car. You had him on the ground. He wasn't complying because he was making verbal. He was talking to y'all verbally, letting y'all know, hey, I'm not resisting this, that, or the other. What was said to that young? What did y'all say to that young man to make that young man get up and run? Before them tasers came out.
Bro, go ahead, Millie. And then, you know, yeah, now I agree with you. That rough talk, and the man was scared. And then once you get hit with that juice, I'm sorry, bro. I can see the brother getting up and running, trying to get away from something that was hurting him.
Right.
But after he fled, why did you go on this hunt? You could have just dispersed. You got his name. You got his information. You could have put a warrant out and picked the cat up on another day.
Let me say this. First of all, it's not in Memphis. He was in his neighborhood. And second of all, when the second encounter went down, he was 100 yards from his mama's house. So he was totally, you know what I'm saying, in his neighborhood. So running probably seemed like a logical thing to do, seeing that he was so close to home. You know what I'm saying? So he was trying to think, you know, being light on his feet, and you know, he could probably make it home.
But then we don't know the history, like the jump out boys. They probably been bullying and doing this retarded shit all the while. They just didn't start doing this bullshit yesterday.
Well, how a jump out boy 297 pounds? I mean.
Man, I don't know.
I'm gonna say this.
One gorilla. They come up there and for him to beat the hell out of somebody. All they go with it.
I'm gonna say this about Memphis, y'all. One place in Memphis that nobody ever messes with, and y'all might be surprised what it is. Nobody ever messed with Graceland. That's where the home of Elvis Presley, because I kid you not, no matter what day of the year it is, 365 days a year, those people go visit Graceland. It's crazy stuff. And so that is known to be like one of the money things of Memphis is Graceland. And the protesters some years back threatened to go to Graceland to protest. The city was not having it. The bridge and Graceland is two places that you don't go. Tonight, you see they chose the bridge. So, I mean, it's crazy. But something about Graceland and the money that comes in from that is so consistent that the city protects it at all costs. I mean, because those people just year-round, they come there. And so my thing is this. When I look at Memphis tonight, I think absolutely these protests are going to force some change. The mother of Tyrese Nichols said today, can y'all please not tear up nothing? You know, can y'all protest peacefully? You know, and she didn't just limit it to Memphis because she knew protests were going to be across the country. She said, can y'all please not destroy anything? Do y'all think that was a reasonable request, or is it okay for the protesters to tear up stuff?
No, that ain't cool. I stopped it in Fort Worth.
Wow.
I told him, man, you know, they ain't going to prove nothing. We need laws changed. I'm about to get laws and bills and policy changed. Tearing up shit ain't going to do nothing.
And I'm not a violent person, but I think I've seen so much negativity with police. I don't know if somebody beside me was doing it if I wouldn't just turn my back and walk away. I mean, I'm just serious. Because I think it's sometimes
It's only when you react in a certain way do you get people's attention. You can talk all day. You can do all the right things. You can write letters. You can, you know, reach out to your legislation. But sometimes only when folks go ape on you do you stop and pay attention to what they're saying to you. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think the protesters that I've seen so far, the ones that I see on social media, let me be clear. I don't think Cassio Montez, Frank Gotti, Cleo Burris, Amber, I don't think any of them are the right people that would do that. But let me finish.
I'm sorry.
But that crowd is full of all kind of people on that bridge tonight. So it ain't just them out there. But I believe that group is very peaceful, and they are just out there trying to get the attention of the city. But I think the group is mixed out there with all kind of people. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't want to cut you off. I was trying to ask, do y'all think the because it's still early stages, will a protest trickle over into next week? You know what I'm saying? You know, we got the weekend, but will it trickle over to next week? And then the Black Lives Matter aspect of the protest, because, you know, they already got a said, you know, it's a said reputation out, you know, how they spent it or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. What part will they play in it? Because the Black Lives Matter, a lot of that stems from police. What you call it?
Man,
you know,
bro,
you know what
that was a quick hustle. They used tragic situations to build their own brand and get money. Everybody owned to them. So, and they had a gay LGBTQ agenda behind their crap. So,
The hustle aspect of it that came in. I was just talking about the protest part of it.
Memphis is not going to let that happen. You're not going to be able to just come in there and run the protest. You know how sometimes you let other folks take over your stuff? I don't think they're going to be able to just come in there and just take over. I think they can try to blend, but I don't think anybody from an outside.
Because
the word
is out on
them.
The word is out on
them. How?
But I will say,
the word is out on BLM, so I don't think they, you know, I think it would be some resistance if they come. It'll make it worse.
I will say that we touched on earlier. I will say that it's this thing when you observe, we touched on it earlier about why they waited till Friday after 6 p.m. after rush hour drive to release the thing. That's right. Telegraphing people. So what I'm sitting here saying, they telegraphed the fact that they're trying to save the people with bankers' hours from being inconvenienced and in the mix. So what I'm saying is the test is what you're going to see is if Monday morning, whatever happens this weekend is whatever happens this weekend. The turning point will be Monday morning when they show up on the streets in front of the court, in front of the banks, when they're doing what they're doing now, shutting the freeway down on Monday morning during bankers' hours. That's what's going to punch them in the eye. And that's what we need in here at Fort Worth, not just like, oh, we're waiting for the verdict, oh, this, that, whatever. Oh, we're following their script. We're playing the game to their cues. And that's all I'm saying about, I think, direct action. When you study civil rights movement, the direct action,
boycott,
you got a boycott.
Boycott was the
you
most powerful engine that we did.
Exactly.
That's what brought them down to their knees, was that them boycotts.
Yep.
I think they'll get them off the bridge tonight, definitely, because, you know, yeah, they'll get them off the bridge tonight. But I think in terms of, you know, being able to determine where they're going to pop up at next, they won't be able to do that because there's not enough officers.
Don't it make sense to take that same crowd and go to J.P. Morgan and line them people up and act like everybody got a bank account and say we want all our money out the bank? You know what? Don't you think them laws are changed by tomorrow?
I'll tell you something. From one thing real quick, from relationship counseling or whatever, one of the cues is when you are dealing with a manipulative relationship or a manipulative partner, one of the things that they will tell you for therapy is don't be predictable, right? So what I was saying is why ain't we going to the Fort Worth? Why ain't there we protest here or protest there, all of this stuff that was happening, but you know what? shake the bingo balls and go over to the Fort Worth POA and get rowdy there. I don't mean rowdy as in violent or destructive, but I'm just saying put the heat. That's where it's at. Just come out of the blue.
But see, I'm going to tell you what they did on MLK Day this year.
Yeah.
Mayor Strickland had the city, of course, was closed because it was a holiday, but he had a private ceremony, a private award ceremony at City Hall. And it was probably maybe 100 people there. Well, they thought it was a private ceremony. Nobody would know about it. But this group of protesters found out. So what did they do? They went to the front door, and the security person there, she didn't know what to do when they said they were coming in. So she goes to ask her supervisor if it was what was going on, which she let them in. And by the time she turns her back, they just stormed into the event. Well, the mayor didn't know what to do because they were there, and they start chanting, and they start, saying, justice for Tyrese Nichols and things like that. That's something that's never happened in Memphis. Because Memphis is kind of like Fort Worth, everybody just kind of, we comply. But I think they're doing something that hadn't been done before, showing up at the DA's office, The other day they went to the DA's office, and Stephen Mulroy didn't know what to do. They demanded to meet with him. He would not meet with them. They refused to leave. So what did he do? He sent everybody home. And his office is
now,
like
when a Tatiana got killed, we flooded the DA's office with calls.
Mm-hmm. No,
that way you ain't got to worry about nobody taking our work, doing all that old extra. We hammered their ass. We put a lot of pressure on them, and until they just like, hey, this shit is getting serious. You know what I'm saying? When the sister got killed, we wasn't passive about nothing.
But that's a very good example. When a Tatiana Jefferson, just this recent trial, the pressure was on. Fort Worth felt the pressure, but it was on. But see, the thing is, the sustainability of a movement here, people just fall off. It's like, okay, for 15 minutes, you got their attention, and then they're on to something else. But I think if Fort Worth kept up the same momentum that they had during that trial with that pressure, things would change in Fort Worth, but we rarely see that here.
3 years left because of COVID. And then again, it's the way, somewhat of the way the family went about handling business, you know what I'm saying? Because they really weren't from Fort Worth. She just got killed in Fort Worth, you know what I'm saying? So it really wasn't so much of the people of Fort Worth. It's also, the family should have led a more aggressive charge to this thing.
Mm-hmm. It
was a whole bunch of mess going on. Mm-hmm. Who the daddy, who ain't the daddy, da-da-da this and da-da-da that.
Yeah.
So it was some things that took away from it. Then we turn our head, then Farid Merritt, first thing he hollered was GoFundMe.
Oh.
But
$150,000 hustle, until Mr. Jefferson, snatched that away from him, and it just been kind of a strange situation here when it came to this particular case.
But I think overall, though, if the truth be told, then it could work on any movement if the people decide that they're tired and stand up.
Right.
But I think it's so hard to get people to realize that. I think most people don't want to put in work. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to be comfortable, and they want somebody else to roll up their sleeves and get it done. I think that's what's wrong. And Memphis has shown me, persistence pays off. And so I think we should be paying attention to their blueprint.
But see, the thing is, you got a whole bunch of young folks. You ain't got these old dusties. I'm stuck in Jim Crow black folks leading their charge. And them young folks got a different mind. They ain't finna back up, they ain't finna back down once you scratch them wrong. And see, our leadership still stuck. What's that old Negro spiritual singing and all that old type of crap, man. Until we move in a different ways, that's the only time you're really gonna see serious change. But they so quick to put the deaf ear and run down and go get this pastor and that pastor. here we go.
But see, I think one thing I noticed too, that they're popping up, you know, in Memphis, but they're moving in silence. And when you see them, you know, they're wherever they are. And I think that's what we lack here too. There's no organization where we come together, you know, where we say, okay, everybody can't lead. We need one person designated as a leader. We're going to follow, and the rest of us are going to follow. Everybody's got to be center stage, pun intended. It never gets off the ground because everybody wants to lead here. And
them two to be nasty preachers gonna go down there and mess it up.
But see, again, but that's if you have to have
them. That's what they condition them to listen to.
But you don't have to have a group of. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to have a large group to be effective, is what I see from what Memphis is doing. You don't have to have a large group. You just got to have a group that's committed.
I'm like this. If you know, I got my unit. I don't depend on nobody for shit because we ain't scared of shit.
Hmm.
And we get shit done.
Wow.
And that's how we move.
That's what's going to happen.
And that's just saying is that we don't wait on nobody.
Because
when we put our heads together and we plan to go out there and tackle whatever issue it is, that's what we do. We don't back up.
I think that's what it's going to take.
Trust and believe, I could have hit the switch a long time ago if I wanted to.
So, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all what I think about a true movement. A true movement, first of all, you must realize a true movement, COINTELPRO never died. And then second of all, it didn't die. So you got your spies. You got your spies. You got your onlookers. You got your agent provocateurs. You know, you got people who are agitators, you know, and then you got your true revolutionaries. All those are in a movement. And so if you go in there thinking anything other than that, you are deceiving yourself and probably may end up dead. So you absolutely have to know and discern what each person's role is in the movement, because some folks ain't there to do nothing but stir up trouble and make stuff happen. And so, or shut stuff down. And so I think that's where a lot of people don't understand about movement. Movements are always going to come with a little trouble and sometimes even a sacrifice. You know, I feel like Tyrese, unfortunately, was a sacrificial lamb, as unfortunate as it was. In order to provoke change in Memphis, there had to be a catalyst because nothing wasn't going to change in that city. And
I know they were going to kill somebody anyway. Because after, if you watch every case, every time we beat them in the courtroom, they take 1 hour out.
Oh, wow.
Somebody was going to get killed. I was shocked by Tyree. When Aaron Dean, what's it called? I said to myself, I said, either they're going to kill another brother or they're going to beat the hell out of him. You know, something's going to happen.
Wow.
And so, and that's what they do.
Well,
that's
I'll say this.
That's why, you know, everybody's on this call, man, seriously. Keep Zion Carr in prayer.
Oh.
And the reason I'm saying it, because he is a marked man.
Hmm.
At his age, that boy got a serious target on his back.
Hmm.
And I pray for that young man every night.
Mm.
I don't where he's staying at right now. I swear, it just makes me nervous.
Mm. And we definitely need to pray for the family. It's a lot going on. And you know, y'all, you got to realize when you sign up for this, you know, it ain't a life for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't built to protest. Everybody built to be outspoken. You know, and so sometimes Zion, you know, bless his heart, he was tasked with an impossible task for an 11-year-old, and for whatever reason, you know, he could not recant what they wanted him to say, you know, and so for whatever reason,
if that upsets some folks, you know, we know God is still able to cover and protect him and shield and protect him every day. So we just going to plead the blood over Little Zion and believe that God can protect them. Dick Gregory told me one time, I said to him, I said, you know, in the 60s, you were saying some stuff black folks weren't saying in the 60s. And I said, weren't you scared? And he said to me, and I'll take this to my grave because it gave me courage just listening to him say it. And he said, if the God I serve, and y'all listen, this ain't about black and white and, you know, N-word versus the C-word. This is just what he said to me. And so I'm just repeating what Dick Gregory said. This ain't Carrie's word. And so I said, weren't you afraid? You know, though there were so many racist, you know, white people out there, and they were harming black people, and they were doing this and that and the other. And Dick Gregory's words to me was, if the God I serve can't protect me from some crackers, I'm serving the wrong God. And I had to really, like really process that. The truth be told, we serve a great and a mighty God. And how dare us feel like our God can do everything but protect us from our enemies? Because he absolutely can. And so he said that, you know, Dick Gregory lived to be in his 80s. You know, and so that really gave me a lot of courage some days when I was scared to death from this harassment that I've dealt with. But when he said that, it made something rise up in me and say, you know what? You know, God can do that, you know. And so tonight I want to say I'm praying for the protesters out there. I'm praying that legions and legions of angels protect every protester across this country that's out there, you know, screaming justice for Tyreek Nichols. I pray that the angels go with them, you know, to allow them to do what they do, hopefully peacefully. And if some of them decide, you know, to go the other way, then so be it. But I pray that, you know, their voices are heard because, you know, a lot of people will just choose to sit at home and watch it on TV, but they're choosing to get up and get out there into the streets and ask for change. And I'm praying that Tyrese's life won't be in vain, that, you know, he paid the ultimate sacrifice with his life, but hopefully that will bring or be the catalyst that brings change across this country. That Memphis will be the blueprint that other law enforcement agencies will follow, and that officers will no longer feel that they can just get away with beating the crap out of people or killing people. That's what I'm praying for.
Hey, Gary, you and I can just echo what you're saying. You know, he says in his word, he said, God said I didn't give you the spirit of fear. So I always ask the question. God said he didn't give us this. He didn't give none of us the spirit of fear. So I say, my question, I'd be asking people, what got you fearing? Because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So what got you fearing? And I even go further than that, what has been instilled in my spirit and what I try to encourage other people with. Don't let nobody or nothing have power over you. Don't let nobody or nothing have power over you. Mm-hmm. Think about fear. Fear is powerful. And if fear comes over you, it can control you. It can control you to a point where you're not living your life, or it can control you to where you're trying to do stuff to others, to instill it in others. So take the fear, as, like you say, you heard it from a mighty man. I can't come behind it. Dick Gregory, I don't see some of his when he sit down with this one guy and just be talking and just kicking it, you know, from his heart and his mind. That man was a real one. So like you said, you was able to conquer that fear, and look where you're at now. You know what I'm saying? You say shit. You told us what you've been up against. That's
I'm up and up.
To average person, they would have been on drop just a long time ago. Because they say, like you say, a lot of people are just comfortable being comfortable. You have taken your life, your livelihood. You are truly serving people. Regardless of how people, you are serving people. You are really, you put yourself, man, when you told me that story, you said, I started in 2010, it's been going, yeah, you good, you cover. God, the Most High got you. You know what I'm saying? So
and let me add this to it, to be clear. Yo, I walked away from this. They scared me so bad, I walked away from it. In 2012, from like 2012 to maybe like 2013, almost about 8 or 9 months, I didn't do no shows, not one, because I was scared. And then I realized after a while, I said, if the harassment gonna continue and I ain't even on the radio, why would I stop? Because yeah. it never stopped. And so it never stopped. And so that's what made me get back on the air. But, you know, my mother had encouraged me, just get off there. Just don't say, you know, older people are, just don't say nothing else. Maybe they'll just leave you alone. I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And I did, and it never stopped. And so I agree with you, Adrian. But what I realized, and I'm going to be very transparent with y'all, what I realized is sometimes your greatest struggle is an indicator of where you're supposed to be. I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes people, the very thing you'll be running from may be the very thing that you're supposed to do.
Actually, and I go back, I think I mentioned it, it's my favorite story in the Bible is the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel. And that's it. If you ain't willing to walk in the fire, then you don't have faith in yourself or in God. You know?
That's true. That's true. And, you know, the thing is, we are living, you know, since we all own scripture right now, it almost seems like we're in the 7 years of tribulation. And I'm saying that to say, I don't think it's going to get no easier. So if you're a wimp, you ain't going to make it. And I don't say that in an ugly way, but I just mean if you don't lace up your boots and get a backbone and realize that, you know, you don't let nobody walk on you, you know, that type of thing, you're not going to survive. Because right now, everything is just coming at you like full force, like you back to back. And you got to be strong and you got to know that God is with you. You know, because, listen, if I didn't know God was with me, and trust me, he has shown me many times that he is with me. But if I didn't know God was with me, I'd have cowered it out long time ago. But every time it looked like I'd reached my weakest point, he would show me that, you know, the battle would some kind of way be dissolved. And I'm like, wow. And so after seeing him do that time and time again, I knew that God had my enemies, because he tells you in scripture, he'll teach your hands to war and your fingers to fight. And he said he'll be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversary. And then he tells you that he'll make your enemy your footstool and prepare a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. And so sometimes I have to preach that to myself on a daily basis to encourage myself. But who was it? David had to encourage himself at one time. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself, you know, when days are dark. And so I'm looking at these protesters out there in Memphis and going, Lord, you know, they got some dark days ahead, but be with them, you know, because I believe in what they're doing. You know, I believe, you know, I y'all always talking about GoFundMe, raise a GoFundMe for them jokers who are, you know, and I don't mean jokers in that kind of way, but you know what I mean. They're out there every day, you know, spending their gas money and doing whatever, driving around town, trying to, you know, raise awareness. Ain't nobody raising a GoFundMe for them, but they should. We never seem to give money to people who really need it. Or I'm not going to say really need, but deserve it. Because I don't know what their situations are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that I say, too, like what you were talking about, the tribulation and everything. And I get really confused these days about, like I was talking about, narratives and the hype that people put out. And it don't matter what side you are on, what race, what your politics is, or this or whatever. I've just come to the point where, you know, I listen objectively, and when I catch the wrong vibe of people slipping, I just say to myself, I know who has the copyright on the last chapter of every single story in the world, every single narrative. And that last story ain't going to be written with pen and paper or on no dang videotape. It's going to be written with the Lord's sword on people's souls.
Oh, wow. That part. And I think, you know what, we gotta really wake up every day and know that he's with us. You know what I'm saying? Because I think when you feel like you're out here doing this all by yourself is when you get like Peter. When Peter was walking on the water, he was doing fine until he looked down because he thought, oh, yeah. I'm doing this by myself. And then all of a sudden, he took his eyes off God and started to look down, and he began to faint. And I think that's what we do in life. We wake up every day sometime, and we just decide we got this whole big old world on our shoulders, and knowing that instead of knowing that he's going to carry every burden if we just give it to him. And so, yeah, that's just how I'm feeling tonight, y'all. I guess I'm really churchy tonight. But I just, I don't know. I just got so much encouragement in seeing what that movement in Memphis. It just encouraged me and rejuvenated me this week in knowing that, you know, we were on the cusp of that with this Tatiana Jefferson trial right here in Fort Worth, and then we lost the momentum. And I don't know how we lost the momentum, but some kind of way everybody just kind of splintered off, you know. And I hate that because I think we were doing exactly what Memphis was. We were on course to do exactly what Memphis is doing, and some kind of way lost focus or something. So I don't know. But anyway, y'all, we've come to the close of another show. Thank y'all all for chiming in, Adrian and Christopher and Malik. You know, my heart is heavy. I'm not going to even pretend. I thought about Memphis this week. And I began to cry like I'm tearing up now because I grew up there. I got family there. I got friends there. And despite how it looks like they're making leeway in Memphis, I know that comes at a heavy price. And so I pray for every protester out there tonight, you know, that's been on that bridge, you know, and all the things that they've done to make leeway in this case, and God covers them because what they've done, it comes at a great price, and I've lived that. And so even though, you know, the cameras are all in their faces and, you know, everybody's taking pictures of them and telling them how courageous they are, but don't nobody know when you go home at night, you know, how you have to worry. So keep Memphis lifted up in prayer. You know, I know those streets, and I know that police department. So tonight we're just going to ask God to send legions and legions and legions of angels to encamp over Memphis and keep the people of that city safe. And we also pray that Tyrese's life will not be in vain and that he will be the catalyst and the blueprint for change across this country. Y'all, until next Friday, good night.